The first bull was Belmonte's. Belmonte was very good. But because he got 30,000 pesetas and people had stayed in line all night to buy tickets to see him, the crowd demanded that he should be more than very good. Belmonte's great attraction is working close to the bull. In bullfighting, they speak of the terrain of the bull and the terrain of the bullfighter. As long as a bullfighter stays in his own terrain, he is comparatively safe. Each time he enters into the terrain of the bull, he is in great danger. Belmonte, in his best days, worked always in the terrain of the bull. This way he gave the sensation of coming tragedy. People went to the corrida to see Belmonte, to be given tragic sensations, and perhaps to see the death of Belmonte. 15 years ago, they said if you wanted to see Belmonte, you should go quickly, while he was still alive. Since then, he has killed more than 1,000 bulls. When he retired, the legend grew up about how his bullfighting had been, and when he came out of retirement, the public were disappointed because no real man could work as close to the bulls as Belmonte was supposed to have done. Not, of course, even Belmonte. Also, Belmonte imposed conditions and insisted that his bulls should not be too large nor too dangerously armed with horns, and so the element that was necessary to give the sensation of tragedy was not there, and the public, who wanted three times as much from Belmonte, who was sick with a fistula, as Belmonte had ever been able to give, felt defrauded and cheated, and Belmonte's jaw came further out in contempt, and his face turned yellower, and he moved with greater difficulty as his pain increased, and finally the crowd were actively against him, and he was utterly contemptuous and indifferent. He had meant to have a great afternoon, and instead it was an afternoon of sneers, shouted insults, and finally a volley of cushions and pieces of bread and vegetables thrown down at him in the plaza, where he had had his greatest triumphs. His jaw only went further out. Sometimes he turned to smile, that toothed, long-jawed, lipless smile, when he was called something particularly insulting, and always the pain that any movement produced grew stronger and stronger, until finally his yellow face was parchment color, and after his second bull was dead, and the throwing of bread and cushions was over, after he had saluted the president with the same wolf-jawed smile and contemptuous eyes and handed his sword over the barrera to be wiped and put back in its case, he passed through into the callejón and leaned on the barrera below us, his head on his arms, not seeing, not hearing anything, only going through his pain. When he looked up, finally he asked for a drink of water. He swallowed a little, rinsed his mouth, spat the water, took his cape and went back into the ring. Because they were against Belmonte, the public were for Romero. From the moment he left the barrera and went toward the bull, they applauded him. Belmonte watched Romero too, watched him always, without seeming to. He paid no attention to Marcial. Marcial was the sort of thing he knew all about. He had come out of retirement to compete with Marcial, knowing it was a competition gained in advance. He had expected to compete with Marcial and the other stars of the decadence of bullfighting, and he knew that the sincerity of his own bullfighting would be so set off by the false aesthetics of the bullfighters of the decadent period that he would only have to be in the ring. His return from retirement had been spoiled by Romero. Romero did always, smoothly, calmly, and beautifully, what he, Belmonte, could only bring himself to do now sometimes. The crowd felt it, even the people from Biarritz, even the American ambassador saw it, finally. It was a competition that Belmonte would not enter because it would lead only to a bad horn wound or death. Belmonte was no longer well enough. He no longer had his greatest moments in the bullring. He was not sure that there were any great moments.